to Ephesians, the fourth chapter this afternoon. And we talked a lot this morning on the preceding verses, but I want to go back to chapter 4 of Ephesians. And we're going to start with verse 25. And I read that this morning before I preached the preceding verses. And we're going to read it again. And this is part of what a Christian is supposed to be. And if we have time, we're going to go over to Romans, the 12th chapter, and give you a few more biblical standards for a Christian. God's not silent about how he wants us to behave. He's not silent about that. Doesn't leave it up for you to decide for yourself. He tells you through his word, this is how you ought to act. So I will read Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 25. Starting there this afternoon. Therefore, that's a preposition, or a word that comes saying, because of what I just said, this is something you need to know. That's what that word means. It's there. It's there for this reason. I said this. Now, this is what you need to do. Therefore, put away lying. Each of you speak the truth. So, more simply, more than simply telling direct falsehoods, lying can also be exaggerations and adding fabrications to something that is true. That's what they call preaching, is embellishing. But I told a story this morning, it was truth. And the embellishing is just to make it more interesting, but I just tried to say it in a way that would make it more interesting to you to hear it from my perspective. Anyway, we don't have to tell falsehoods. And Christians, oftentimes, if we're not careful, we get caught in something and we'll immediately defend ourselves with a falsehood. Say, I didn't say that, or I didn't, you know, and we know we did say it, but yet we got caught, and we'll try to deny it, and probably immediately you are checked in your spirit because you just told a falsehood. And so we are not, Paul said, because of what's happened to you, this new life in Christ, you don't lie no more. You used to lie, but you don't lie no more. Let everyone speak truth to his neighbor. So we put that away. You don't cheat. I love to cheat at games. I don't love to, but I like to see if I can get away with it. Here recently, Stephen and I were playing a game with the whole family. Now, I like the game. It's one of them games, put the card up here on a headband, and you got to try to guess what the word is. Well, I didn't have a headband, so mine was laying down face down in front of me. When all the others was trying to guess what theirs was, I took a sneak peek at mine because I just wasn't getting it. I couldn't figure it out. So I took a sneak peek, put it down, and Stephen looked at me and goes, did you just do what I think you did? I go, well, yeah. He goes, and he held his up and goes, banana, or whatever his was. He says, I already did the same thing. That's when Melissa had this horrible revelation that he's more like me than she thought. So it went all the way around the table about 7 or 8 till they got back to me, and I thought, man, I told them, I said, I just don't know if I can get this or not. And I threw out a couple of guesses, and I go, whatever it was, I hollered it out, and they go, wow! And I just laughed, put it down, and I quit. I'm done. And they never knew till I fessed up that I cheated. But you know what? I was having fun with that, and I wanted them to know I was just having fun. Before you do something like that to really mean it and to try to get away with something, we just had fun at it. There was no life on the line. Wasn't no gain, no money, nothing to be gained from it. We were just having fun. But there's a difference. And we're to put away cheating. Don't try to cheat people. Make foolish promises. Tell somebody you'll do something that you know you're not going to do. You do it sometimes just to get away with, just to actually get them off your back. If you ever have somebody push you, say, okay, I'll do it. You know you're not going to, but they'll leave. Well, the Bible says not do that. You just need to look at them and say, I'm not going to do it. Why not? Because I don't want to. Just tell them the truth. I'm not going to do it. You know, don't lie to people. Fact is, don't tell somebody you're going to pray for them if you don't. So what I do anymore, if they'll pray for you, I do it right then. It might not be an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails a whole lot, but I'm going to pray for you right then. So wait a minute, preacher. I want you to pray. I'll get to that later, but I'm going to pray for you right then as soon as you ask me. It may not be a long prayer. It might be a short prayer. It may be a prayer under my breath, but I'm going to pray for you right then so that I don't forget that I told you I'd pray. So don't tell somebody you're going to do that if you don't intend to do it. Just say, if I think about it, I'll pray for you after a while. That'd be the truthful statement. Don't lie to people. Don't make foolish promises. Don't betray a confidence. Don't make false accusations. A Christian should have no part of a false accusation. Don't you get tired of that? I don't like drama. I get tired of drama. And if you start in on me and you start some of that stuff, I'm probably going to start tuning you out. And you'll say, do you remember when I told you that? I'm going to say, I was there, but I had checked out. I don't remember that because I don't like drama. I don't like it at all. And some people thrive on it. But let's don't lie to one another. Put away lying. Speak truth with your neighbor. And God's work in the community, in the world, is based on truth. And we as Christians, or as representatives of Him, should speak truth. If we're going to be true instruments for the Lord, we need to speak the truth. Sometimes truth hurts, but we need to speak the truth. If you really love like you ought to love, you'll speak truth in love even when it hurts. Come on, we will. Because sometimes people, we won't tell the truth when it comes to people's situations because we're afraid they'll misjudge what we're meaning. But tell the truth. This is how I see it, or this is what the Word of God says. I'm not mad at you. I'm not angry. I'm not angry. I don't want to hurt you, but this is what God's Word says. Okay? Speak the truth to them. Don't beat around the bush. Just tell the truth and move on. And then it says, speak truth to your neighbor. Be angry and sin not. I'm still practicing that one. I'm trying not to be angry, but sometimes I get angry. If I'm not careful, I'll sin. I'm transparent with you guys, but I have to work on that one because you get angry. But if you get angry about something, the next logical thing in the flesh to do is to, not necessarily sin, but to do something in retaliation. You know, that's what you want to do sometimes, retaliate. Well, that's sin. Or say an angry, dirty, or bad, not dirty, but, you know, bad word back to them. Or, you know, have a big bad argument. Don't you feel bad after big arguments? You don't feel bad about it? Usually we do because we're checked in our spirit by the Holy Spirit and say, you shouldn't have done that. You know, you shouldn't have done that. Good, Ryan. So don't sin. See, and by New Testament standards, anger can be good or bad, depending on the motive and purpose. There's a righteous anger. Jesus got mad. He got angry, went into the temple, and overturned the money changers' tables. Let loose all their doves, all their, you know, their stuff. And he was angry, but he didn't sin. He did something in righteous anger. We got to be careful about that, though, and to make sure that our anger is just and for the right purpose. Not use it as a crutch. Well, I was angry, but I didn't sin because I did this for... Well, make sure you're doing it for the right reason. If you get angry about something, that's the right reason. I got angry one time at a guy's house. I went over to talk to him about... Y'all forgive me. God already has, but... And I was going to talk to him about they was going to church and they wouldn't give. So I went to talk to him about their giving. You know, they was going to church, they won't, you know, and I said, I was young back then. I'll just let you go now. Hey, I'll preach about it. And if you don't want to give, you want to curse of God on you, hey, that's your business. I'm not going to come over and beat your coffee table down, okay? So I went over there at their house. I was trying to be real nice about it. And I found out that another guy who was going to church here and preaching some was telling them they didn't have to give. Told them they didn't have to give. And it made me mad. They had a glass coffee table there. It's a wonder I didn't cut my arm off. It didn't break, but I come down on that thing and said, that guy's a liar. And almost broke it. Well, do you think that was righteous indignation? No, that was foolishness. That's happened a long time ago, by the way, 25 years ago. 24, 25 years ago. But I was angry because that guy was undermining the teaching of the Bible and what I was teaching in the church according to the Word of God. And I got angry about it. Did I solve any problem that day? No. Didn't solve one problem. They came back to church. They never did give. They never did give the whole time. But I did make an impression on them. And it was a better impression than what you think, because I stood up for what was right that day. And they apologized to me later on. The lady died. They talked to me once after that. But they died recognizing that they had done wrong. But what good did it do? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? So don't be angry. Be angry and sin not. So I'm too transparent for you, aren't I? I'm just telling you the truth. I got angry that day. I regretted it. I might have had a just cause, but I reacted wrong. Okay? Could have spoke the truth in love, a little bit more calm, still been stern with them without trying to break their furniture. And I wasn't trying to break their furniture. I was trying to make a point. I about made one, all right, right through the edge of my arm. That'd been good. Bled out right in there. How come he died? Well, he got mad about me not paying my tithe. Slit his wrist. So don't be angry without cause. The type that God likes is a type that hates injustice, immorality, ungodliness, and every other sin. And righteous anger is an unselfish anger, based on the love for God and others. And so we need to be careful about it. It says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's how we're supposed to act. We don't hear this much, do we? I leave it alone. See, even righteous anger be turned to bitterness if we're not careful. And our motives need to be correct. And so we need to set aside our anger, even if it's good anger, at the end of the day. Let not the sun go down. And I've been guilty of going to bed mad, angry, hurt. It don't do us anybody any good. Disturbs your sleep. Hurts those around you and doesn't fix the problem. So don't let this, go ahead and just, you know, if you get angry at somebody you love, you know you're going to have to apologize. Might as well just get it over with. Serious. Might as well just get, you know by tomorrow you're going to have to apologize sometime. I used to get mad at my mom when I was a kid. You know, she'd get on to me for something, and I didn't like it, and I'd get mad at her, and I'd make up my mind. I ain't talking to her for a week. Shoot, by supper time, I was ready to talk. It's funny, you know. You know, I'd appreciate some, too. Anyway... By supper time, I was ready to talk. And most times, she didn't ever know I was mad at her. She might know I was mad, but she didn't know I'd made up my mind not to talk. But I do that a lot. I've done that to my wife. I ain't going to talk to her. And she'd come, are you mad about something? No. So not only am I mad, I lie. No, I ain't mad. I ain't mad. I'm hurt. There's a difference. What are you hurt about? Well, it ain't none of your business. You did it, but it ain't none of your business. I don't want to get over it right now. Leave me alone. Because now I'm going to have to apologize. Now, you know we're like that. I'm not the only one like that. So be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And if you let that happen, it can become volatile. I tell you what, next Sunday we're going to start on Sunday afternoons. No, we're not next Sunday, but as soon as we get through with this, we're going to start letting y'all take turns preaching on Sunday afternoons. So y'all can see how easy it is up here to have people talking back to you, laughing at you when you get your tongue tied. And see how many times you say, bow your eyes and close your heads. I never knew I said that till it was brought to my attention. Of course, you know, there's those certain people that come around. Did you know what you said? They don't remember the sermon, but I heard you give that altar call. Bow your eyes, close your head. We don't want you listening. Then it says this. It says, he that steals, let him that stole steal no longer. When you get saved, you quit stealing. You don't steal anything. You make it right. It has no part in the life of a Christian, stealing. No part whatever. It produces no benefit. And the alternate to stealing is to provide for oneself. I think it's 1 Thessalonians or somewhere. I couldn't tell you where right now, but one of the apostles wrote, said, if you don't work, you hadn't ought to eat. I think it's in Thessalonians somewhere. And it said, if you don't, or I don't remember now. I'm going to start lying. I don't remember where it says in there. And so we should provide for oneself. If you're able to work, you ought to work. If you're able to provide, you ought to provide. Okay? And you shouldn't steal from somebody else. There's different forms of stealing. I won't go into that. But we need to not steal and honor God through honest, honorable means. Honor God by earning your keep. And by the way, for those of you on Social Security, that's not an entitlement. You earned it. We've been paying that money in for a lot of years. If we had put our into our own retirement fund, we'd all have several million dollars to spend. Did you know that? I went to a seminar one time. The government has stole from us. Went to a seminar, and they said if you'd have put the same amount of money into your own retirement fund, and they would have invested that, even a certain amount of interest, you would have had, I think it's over $2 million for you to decide how you wanted to spend it. Instead, we're going to get back a very smidgen of that, and they could cut that at any time and say there's none left. Well, I beg to differ. I paid enough in, I would have enough to live the rest of my life. Right? But the government stole from us. So don't steal. And give to them. Let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Now, there's going to be people needy. Some people can't work. Some people hit a rough patch in their life. I've hit rough patches in my life, and I needed some help. And there was somebody to help me, usually. And if I couldn't find it, one time we hit a rough patch, and I asked them help and didn't get it. I asked somebody else. They wouldn't give it. They wanted to give me a lecture. Well, I was working. It wasn't because I was lazy. I just hit a rough patch, and I needed some help. There's a difference. And I worked, and all I wanted was just a little bit of groceries to feed my family until I could get straightened out. Nobody would help me. But guess what? I still ate. Still had gas money to get to work. What happened? He helped me. And that's the truth. The Lord helped us through that. It's a tough stretch. We got one stretch of our life when I was driving a truck. I sat at home most of the winter because it was a bad winter. I was hauling hay. I couldn't get into the barns to load hay. I couldn't get down the roads to deliver the hay. I couldn't sell the hay at times. I mean, I had a rough patch that winter. And then when I finally got some hay to sell, I went to start my truck, and it wouldn't start. Finally got some work, got some hay to haul, went out to start my truck, and I had where I had it set in, all the fuel run to the wrong tank. It drew out of this tank, and the fuel run to the other tank, and so when I went to start it, I sucked air. And when you suck air in a diesel, you're in trouble. So then I had to get a mechanic, had no money, had to get a mechanic, come out and get my truck running so I could go get the hay. By then, snowed again, I couldn't go. But we had a rough patch that winter. We played a lot of Scrabble, sat around the fire, never missed a meal, never missed a house payment, never missed an electric bill, never. We sit back talking about, I don't know how we made it through that 5 years, especially that winter. But we did. So what am I telling you? Don't steal. God is faithful. And if somebody does get in need, be ready and willing to help. Come on. And so we need to be ready to help those who are truly in need. So don't steal and give to those who are in need. Help them. And then it says, goes on to say, this is how we're supposed to act now. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Don't let a corrupt word, that's something foul or rotten, proceed out of your mouth. You know, that's sort of like spoiled fruit or putrid meat. You don't want that coming out of your mouth. Speak good words, kind words, words that will edify people. Don't do things and say things that's out of character with your new life in Christ. And I'll say those curse words should have no place in a Christian's life. You may used to be a realist, could cuss like a sailor. You ought to have that. You shouldn't be cussing like a sailor now if you're a Christian. You shouldn't let those words proceed out of your mouth. Don't mean you might not think it, or it might not try to come, but you crucify your flesh and you bring your body, your tongue, into subjection. The Word of God teaches in James that tongue's a hard thing to control. But we need to control our tongue, and if you can't use nothing but a cuss word, don't say nothing. Probably if, you know, and some of you probably never did cuss, but I've used a lot of foul language in my lifetime. Not in my lifetime, my early life. 40 years ago, before Christ, B.C., before Christ, I used some foul language. Never was correct, never was right, but I used it. Didn't solve anything. Didn't make me appear smarter. Actually made me appear a little bit dumber than I was. Less intellectual. I can think that word, but I can't think of nothing smart to say. But I can sure say that one. That ain't the way to talk. Don't let corrupt communication, and corrupt communication could also be something that would hurt somebody. Say a word that would be harmful to somebody. Check it in your spirit. When you get ready to talk that stuff, talk that smack, think about, will that hurt them or will that help them? Will that edify them or will that tear them down? Will that encourage them or will that discourage them? Will that make them like me or will that make them not like me? There's some things better left unsaid. And all of us, not all of us, I'll just say, I have to check that stuff at myself. Not careful, because I'm a smart aleck sometimes. I like to pop off stuff, and sometimes I'm trying to be funny. Sometimes it hurts, and I don't mean to hurt. So I often had to turn around and apologize. Well, one judge had a guy who had slandered another man. They come to court, and it proved that it was wrong. And the judge told the man who had slandered the other man, said, I want you to go home, take this piece of paper. I want you to tear it all up and bring it back and throw it out into the wind. Then I want you to gather it up. So the guy goes home and comes back the next day. Said, judge said, did you do what I told you? Yeah, I tore it up. I threw it out there, and I went to gather it up, but the wind scattered it. He said, that's the same thing with your words. Same thing with your words. You said this about this man, but it's scattered all over the county now. You've ruined his reputation by slandering him, telling a falsehood about that man. We need to be very careful what we say about others. Because you may tear somebody down and tell a falsehood about them. You may think it's true because you heard it from so-and-so, and you can trust them. Sort of like saying everything on the Internet's true. It's not. Not everything you hear about somebody's true either. So be careful about that. Be careful. If it doesn't edify, don't say it. It should be instructive, encouraging, uplifting, even when it must be corrective and suited for the moment. Be careful. And it says this, and it gives grace to the hearers. Because we've been saved by grace, kept by grace, we should live and speak grace. And our Lord set that standard. We should speak grace. We should be very loving and caring towards others and giving them grace. There's times for correction, I understand that, but sometimes we need to speak grace. Give people the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. I could say things that I'm not going to right there. And it says, do not, verse 30, said, let's go to 31. Verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't grieve him. You see, and what grieves God is when you as a Christian refuse to change from your old sinful ways. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Well, that's the way God made me. They'll do something, act a certain way, say, well, that's the way God made me. So it's like you have to accept it, but you have to accept them for the way they are, but they won't accept you for the way you are. You got to change, but they don't have to because God made them that way. Well, let me tell you something. God made me the way I am too. And I have to work on me, so you should have to work on you. Not because I say it, but because God's Word says it. And I like that Candy Hemphill song. It says, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Well, how loving and caring he must be, because he's still working on me. So we're all still being worked on, but let's not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, okay? And then it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. Don't get rid of that stuff, amen? Because Christ has forgiven us and put that stuff away from you. And then the next one says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We've got to be tenderhearted and loving towards each other. Don't you think it'd go a whole lot further in healing brokenness and divisions if we'd be more kind and loving towards one another? Forgiving. We it's like I was telling you about the incident in the elevator. I have to assume that person has not forgiven me, although I didn't do anything. But yet, for whatever reason, they think I did. And it has to be much more peaceful for that person if they would just forgive me. Whatever they think I did, forgive me. You know? I could go into more of the story and you'd know who it was, and I don't want you to actually know who it was. And because I've forgiven that person, you know, for what they did and how they acted that particular day. But when I meet them and they won't speak, I have to know that they didn't forgive me. They got to be miserable. I've went on. I forgave them, so I'm forgiven and I'm not worried about it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Hey, it's not eating me up inside. I'm not getting ulcers over it. And I've learned that in this lifetime of preaching, that I just forgive people. Now, I wallowed in self-pity for a while sometime. I mean, I went several weeks sometime wallowing in self-pity over what happened. But then I get over it. I go ahead and forgive them. You know, I get hurt. Don't get me wrong, I've been hurt. And had to, you know, wallow around in that ditch for a while. And then I come out of it and say, okay, it's over. I'm not going to lose sleep over this. I'm not going to be angry at them. I'm not going to be mad. I'm just not going to be mad. I'm not going to talk about them. I'm just, hey, it happened. It's over. I'm moving on. Because the Word says to, you know, and they may still be mad about it, and it's, hey, they're the ones going to get ulcers over that, not me. They're the ones going to hide at Walmart when they see me, not me. Come on. Praise the Lord. I seen a young man at Walmart a couple weeks ago, and he used to go to church here with his family. Some, he didn't come much, but his family came quite a bit. And you know what? He still not acknowledged me. No, he didn't either. Never mind. I thought he acknowledged me as Pastor Stone, but he didn't. He's like an, anyway. You know what? I'm Pastor Stone. Or Pastor Dennis. Y'all see me out. You shouldn't call me Dennis. I got some friends in the church that will. But you know what? Really, if you see me out, especially in official capacity, it hadn't ought to be just Dennis. I said, well, you're putting yourself up here on this. No, I'm not. You got to guarantee they spoke to Aaron and Moses with reverence and respect, not reverence, respect. And that's all I'm asking, respect the office that God has placed me in. I didn't put myself here, God did. And so, yeah, that's all right. She called me Mr. Pastor. She'll call me Mr. Pastor. What, Barbara? No, huh? Mr. Pastor, I won't be there Sunday or whatever, you know. Pray for me, I'm sick. But that's her term of endearment and respect for me. You know. I appreciate that. Now, I won't get mad at you if you call me Dennis, but sometimes I've just seen some young people that's come through this church, and I seen one yesterday, and he called me Dennis. He should have called me Brother Stone. He should have called me Pastor. He should have said Mr. Stone. But to me, it was a sign of contempt. Dennis, how you doing, Dennis? Well, maybe didn't mean nothing by it, but you understand where I'm coming from? I don't know why I got on that. That's stupid. Maybe somebody need to hear it. I don't know. Maybe it bothered me. I don't know. I don't think it was. Now let's go to Romans for just a moment. I know I've kept you 30 minutes or more, so we're going to quit. In Romans, the 12th chapter, we know the first two verses very well because I quote them quite often, beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you know, present your body, living sacrifice. But Paul, whoever wrote, got down to verse 9, and he said this, and I'm just going to read these to you. This is another part of how you behave like a Christian. Romans 12, verse 9. And I think the King James says, dissimulation, hypocrisy. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. That means you love me in spite of. You don't love me because you're part of my immediate family. You don't love me because you're in love with me. You love me because I'm a part. You love each other because you're part of the family of God. And you prefer one another because you're a part of the family of God. Not lagging in diligence, being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. I was looking for something. I don't see it there. Weep with those who weep. If you're happy today, I should be happy. But if you're going through a mourning period, I should mourn with you. Weep with you. Laugh with you. Weep with you. In other words, I'm affectionate towards you because you're part of the family of God. And because you hurt, I hurt. Or because something good happened to you, I'm glad for you. I'm not envious of you because you got something good. I'm glad for you. Several of you got new cars, different cars the last couple of years or so. I was not, and none of, I don't think anybody was. We should not be envious. We should be glad that you were able to get another car. That God blessed you in such a way that you could afford to do that. You know, that's how you should be. Or new clothes or whatever it is. Hey, great, you got some new clothes. You know, we shouldn't be envious of that. We should be glad because God has blessed them. And so, distributing to the needs, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. That's a good one, isn't it? Repay no one for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now, some people you can't live peaceably with. Regardless of how kind you are and how you try to live with them, they're just not going to be peaceful with you. But you do, Bible says here, you do, if possible, as much as depends on you. So what's he mean? You do your part. You do your part. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that coals of fire, and I'm going to close with this statement right here. It refers to an ancient Egyptian custom, which a person who wanted to show public contrition carried a pan of burning coals on his head. The coals represented the burning pain of his shame and guilt. So when believers lovingly help their enemies, it should bring shame to such people for their hate and animosity. You should cause them shame and hurt. I mean, cause them to be shameful of how they act when you're so kind back to them. Now, that is hard to do when you've been hurt, done dirty, to be kind. But the Bible tells us to be kind and not avenge yourself. God says, I will repay. I will avenge you at the proper time. Don't you do it yourself. And isn't that great news? That God will take care of us and be regarded for good things. Live peaceably with everybody as best as you can. Sometimes you can't. There's a lot of incidents over the lifetime of all of us that we've met people that we really wanted to be kind to and really wanted to be around, but they just didn't like you. For whatever reason, just don't like you. I've had some people even in our district work at times, and some of them got at odds with my brother when he was a youth president, and so they decided they didn't like me because they didn't like my brother. It's like, I didn't do nothing. And I even told one of them one time, I was in the car with him going somewhere, I said, you know, I said, I hope you ain't holding your animosity towards my brother against me. Huh? I said, well, I know you don't like my brother. And we're in the car together today, just me and you. I said, I'm not my brother. And I ain't done nothing to you, and I hope you're not holding what he's done against me. But I also really wish you and him would get that worked out. I wish y'all could work it out. Because neither one of them like each other. And I don't know what happened. Neither one of them gave me a straight story. But something happened a long time ago, and they're both carrying some animosity towards the other one over that incident. It ain't right. Biblically, they are both in error. They're both in error. They should apologize if they can't and agree to disagree if that's what needs to be, and then go on. And maybe that's what they've done since then. That's been several years ago, but we should not do that. But it happens. So live as peaceful as you can with everybody. This old-time religion we used to sing, we sang that song, It Makes Me Love Everybody. Wow. Goodness gracious. You mean even those that threaten to shoot you? Yeah. Would you stand? I'm going to start telling stuff I don't need to tell. I'll start embellishing my stories. Praise God.